Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
I'm going to share just a couple of things with you. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll get into this today, and we'll get you on your way. How many are believing God with me for air conditioning? You know, we're obviously giving you an opportunity to give to that. And we're believing God for the full amount, but I can finance some of it if I need to, which, you know, I don't want you to cook. You all look well done, so we won't increase that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, we just ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would teach us as we look to your word. Father, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Lord, you're the one that gives us light and understanding. We don't have light just in our own, but we need your wisdom and your understanding. So we ask for it and believe we receive it. Lord, speak to us. Father, we believe for eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that understand. Lord, that as the truth of your word is going forth, it will do what you said it would do. It'll make men free and keep them free. Lord, that direction will come for people and understanding concerning where they're at in their life from the word. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to read a scripture to you in Proverbs. You can I won't have you turn anywhere just yet, but Proverbs 29:18 says this, "Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." The Bible in basic English says, "Where there is no vision, the people are uncontrolled. He who keeps the law will be happy." The Amplified says, "Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God. The people perish." The Living Bible says, where there is ignorance of God, crime runs wild. I think it's pretty good, you know. It's pretty good. Crime runs wild. The Message says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. And the enemy is one that likes to bring darkness. He likes to confuse. You know, in studying some things on fear and stuff like that in the Old Testament, some of those words about fear and terror and that type of thing has to do with confusion. Have you ever been in a situation that was difficult and you just feel confused? I'll just help you with something. That's the time where you want to declare that you are receiving the wisdom of God. That is not where you want to go. And I've watched people do this for years because I've been around the ministry long enough, from youth pastoring to doing some traveling as well. I watch people sit and talk about what they don't know over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And guess what that does? It reinforces what you don't know. And it's deep, isn't it? It reinforces in you confusion. So that's why in those situations, you need to say, I'm his sheep. He's my shepherd. I know his voice. Okay? And then in the process of that, you don't do anything until you know. Don't buy the house until you know that you know. Okay? So we just did a series on Wednesday nights on being led by the Holy Spirit and what that means and how that happens. And I like to put it this way, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And that actually, that word witness is co-witness. And so what it is you have something on your heart, and then the Holy Spirit comes and says, yep, that's right. And there's that co-witness. Now you got to be careful, because your head will play tricks on you. You ever notice that? Your head will go, you don't want to do that. And your heart will go, definitely do that. Come on. Am I the only one? It will. It'll try. And then so you got to get quiet. You got to get yourself quieted down, and you got to hear in here. And the enemy is, you know, his primary battleground. You know, we look at things on the earth that are happening that are destructive or whatever they are. But his primary battleground is your mind. It is suggestion and influence through thought. That's his primary weapon against you, especially as a believer. Because he'll bring up all the things that God didn't say about you that you did wrong. And then you'll have this conflict because you'll read the word and God will say this about you. And then you're in the battleground of choosing which is right. Okay? And so learning to have vision. So I just wanted to share with you real quick before I go on with my message. As far as this church is concerned, Faith Family Church is about 3.5 years old. Life in Christ is kind of our tagline. We want people to have life in Christ and experience because Christ desires that you have his abundant life in every area of your life. Okay? And so that's kind of our tagline. And there are things that have been said, you know, there are individual things that have been said to me about my call and that God has dealt with me about my call in all of this. What God will do is God will put a vision in a man or a woman to do a certain ministry. And then out of that, God will put visions in the people, in the church or in the ministry that are there, that are either supportive or come alongside and work with what God has given the person that he has to lead a particular church or organization. You know, you realize this, and we have a board here at the church. We have a, we don't call them elders, but there are leaders, men and women in the body that give counsel, godly counsel. I mean, you think that's a good idea to Heidi and I, and as we pastor, okay? Because it's, you know, it is what it is. I've been around long enough to know what it is. And it's not always easy, but that's okay. God, if anything's just easy, is it really worth doing? I'd rather get in a fight. A faith fight, amen? Not a physical fight. I'm not looking to physically fight. My days of trying to be tough are over. Anyway, but God gives a vision to a person, and then God will connect people to that vision that are supposed to be a part of that vision. And it creates this... it creates a body, a local body in an area to move the kingdom of God forward, to advance into the enemy's territory and take the people out of it. Okay? Now, he'll give us land and properties and things like that because he gave us this building as well. But he gives you places where you can come, and this is church is like a gas station. How many realize once your vehicle's full, you should probably leave? Right? But church is a gas station because how many, depending on how much you drive, you're probably filling up that tank once a week? See, church is a perfect illustration. We drive so much, I come twice a week. In other words, you have to get filled up, and that's what church is. And then you are salt and light. See, my job as a pastor is to give you the word of God that causes you to grow so that you can take it and then therefore go forward and do the what? The work of the ministry. See, people have this idea that ministry is the pulpit. Are you kidding? This is like 10%. This is like 10% of what I do, probably less. There's a whole lot more that goes on outside of this that's ministry. Well, in you, in your world, you're a minister. People go, well, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to get up in front of people. No. Your job, you're a minister there. Your family, you're a minister there. Your spouse, you're a minister there. You're distributing something to someone always. So whatever out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaketh, speaketh, right? So whatever you're full of comes out. So I just wanted to share this briefly. There was a word that Billy Miller came through about a year or more ago, and the Lord gave him a prophetic word for the church, and one of it is that Faith Family Church would be a hub. A hub. It's interesting about that. It's 15, 20 years before. I was praying in Tulsa when I was at Bible college, and we were supposed to be praying for youth camp because we were going with Rhema to do the youth camp. But I got to praying, and the Holy Spirit would not let me get away from Billings, Montana. I'm like, I'm going to pray this way, Lord. And he's like, nope, you're going this way. You know? And so I prayed out, and one of the things that the Lord said to me is that you will have a hub in Billings. And then 20 years later, I could tell you about those 20 years. Ooh, Jesus. I'll just say this. There's not enough money in the world that you could pay me to go through it again. But there's not enough money in the world to make up for what I learned. Amen. And so this church is going to be a hub. Don't think building. think people. You say, what do you mean? We're going to plant other churches. I said, we are going to plant other churches. Tomorrow? No. How about we get the hub established first? So think of like, how many can picture an old wagon wheel? That center? That's where we're at right now. So our circle of influence is just this. But eventually spokes go out. And I pray and look over the map of Montana because I'm not called to China. God bless the people that are. Man, they're anointed to do it. Go get her done. You know what I mean? But it's tough for me to just quickly, you know, plant a church in China and then come back to Billings. I'm called to this area. This is my mission field. This area. You know, what your mission field is the world you're in. Do you know they need a church? Those people you run into every day? They need hope. They need Jesus. They need to be born again. How many know it's a good idea once you harvest the grain to put it in the bin? Right? We're a bin. We can fill a whole lot more. We got a tall ceiling. We can fit a whole lot more. So what we're eventually going to do, so that being said, if you want to, you know, if you're hooked up with this is where God has you, then be believing with us for these things. Be expecting them to come. When you're, if the Holy Spirit brings it across your heart, think about it, pray about it, and go, God, how's that going to work out? And then just pray, Lord, help Sean. He needs it. My God, help the man. Help him. And I do. I covet your prayers. I will take it. I will take all the prayer that you will can give me. You know, we get prayer requests. Well, I'm requesting. I'm praying for you. Please pray for us. Pray for the leadership. Keep love afloat at the top. Amen? Keep it paramount. It's so vital because the devil wants to destroy so many things. And he's gotten good at it through the years. I'll just tell you that. So anyway, part of that process is Heidi and I are going to be selling our house. Because then I won't have any debt. That'll be it. And the Lord put on my heart Matthew 6:33, and we've been praying about this and talking about this for a while. And so be believing with us that that thing sells. We're going to take the money and put it somewhere. I don't care. Wherever the God tells me to put the money, I'll put the money. And we're believing God for increase in these areas. Why? So that, I don't know if you've noticed, but I can't do everything that a full-time pastor can do right now because I still work secular. So there are things, and this is, over the last year, I shared this, I think last week, but we've paid off, what is it? About a little over $10,000 in debt. Got rid of it. Paid off both vehicles. Gone. What, you say, why are you doing that? Because I'm going to seek ye first. And if God wants to bring the other, and he does, he will in his time. But the rest of it, I'm going to stick my head down and just go. You know what I mean? And just go. Because we've established enough in this area to really start moving toward the lost in this city. And that's what I'm after. There are people that are suffering, but you understand this, you cannot bring them in until you have the bin ready. And so we've been making moves and, you know, we made Pastor Brett, the dude, he volunteered, he led of the Lord, he's doing children's, then we promoted Mike to Pastor Mike, and then others, and we've had all these, and we're starting to fill the holes in all the areas so that what? Just like in the book of Acts, the certain widows were being neglected. And so what did the apostles do? They didn't do all the work. They gave themselves to the word of God in prayer, and then they had other godly men and women come in and do the other. And then the Bible says in the book of Acts that the word of God spread and the church was increased. Okay? Okay, so I just want to let you know about that. We do have a purpose besides just coming and sitting on Wednesday and Sunday. It just takes time to get there. It just takes time. You know, sometimes people are raring to go and they're ready to go and they think they're ready to go. And in myself, I'm going, you're probably not ready to go. Because when you start getting into ministry, anybody that's been in it for very long, it doesn't even matter if you're, if you're going to take over, if you're not going to be a full-time minister or pastor, the enemy attacks. And you have to be ready for that. You know, that's why we usually start people out, you know, like greeting at the door. And we are real formal around here. Yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of ministries. The children's ministry, I know the Faith Kids, they need workers. If it's on your heart to do it, do it. Well, it'll take away my time. Isn't it great that we can give up our lives for the one who gave up his life for us? See, we got to get the right perspective. We are in the generation, I read it the other day, men love pleasure rather than God. I want to play, 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 play. You're going to get to the end of your life and go, uh-oh, I wonder what I'm going to have to show. Amen, Brother Sean. Go ahead. Believe I will. Thank you. Pat myself on the back. All right. Philippians 4:15. Paul said this, Now you Philippians, know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared, distributed, partook, or partnered, that's what that word means, with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. We're talking about the subject of giving and receiving. Go ahead and open up and just, you can mark it to Psalms 118, and I'm going to read this introduction to you this morning. It says this, I have heard it said and found it to be true myself that if you want to quiet down a crowd in church, just start talking about one of three subjects, marriage, parenting, or money. As a pastor, I have a responsibility to teach what the Bible teaches. I know that everybody in here comes from different backgrounds. Some have heavy church backgrounds, and some have very little to no church background. Either way, along the journey of life, we all develop beliefs or ways of doing things in our lives. Our influence, parents, family, siblings, church, culture, social status, all these things have had a hand in shaping who we are and how we live this life. This morning, it'll be our second week of tackling the subject of money. I want to encourage all of us to have an open mind to what the Lord would minister to us by His Word and the Holy Spirit. As we move through the scriptures, choose to submit to God and His word, even if it violates what you thought was right concerning money. I do not present this message with a secret motivation to try and manipulate more money out of your wallet into mine or the church. My motivation is for your obedience to God and the rejoicing with you as the Lord increases you in every area of your life, to live in blessing and to be a blessing to others. Paul said it this way in Philippians 4:17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. If you are one who has never given financially to the Lord, or you have been turned off to this subject by excesses you have witnessed, then I would encourage you, now listen to me closely, to stand before the Lord with an honest heart and go over the scriptures carefully as we navigate through this subject, so that balance and healing can take place in your life. My desire and the desire of the leadership in this church is that you give as unto the Lord and that you always give from a place of faith and joy. I'll just put it to you like this. If the subject of giving financially offends you, even though you see it in the scripture, do not give one penny to this church or to anything until you get it figured out. You say, that's not what I saw on TV when they were taking up an offering. I know, it irritates me what I see on TV. Not all of them, so don't try and think which one it is, because you're not going to know. I don't name names. In other words, what is the foundation for what you're doing? What is the motivation? If the motivation is not love for God and submission to Him first, then you need to go back and revisit and fellowship with the Lord on that subject. Once you get it settled, I'll just put it to you like this. If you don't get it settled there first, you can give until you're blue in the face and it's not going to work the way it should. Amen. Okay? So just keep that in mind. So, Brother Hagin put it this way, prosperity without eternal purpose leads to disappointment and dissatisfaction. I got lots of money. Good, what have you done with it? And how has the kingdom advanced? Well, I feel secure. Your security's not in your money. It's in your God. Who is your source? Who is your source? Now, this is where faith, this is where we get the separation between the girls and the women and the boys and the men in faith. Because when you write a check and all that money goes out, and you know what you have coming out here, but you know what the Lord told you, what's the gap in between? That's called faith land. And what do we notoriously know about faith land? It's unseen. Ooh, good word. Woo! I got a little excited about that. Psalm 118:25. First of all, is financial increase or prosperity biblical or scriptural? We got 10 minutes. Can you hang on? Psalm 118, verse 25. The psalmist said, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Prosperity. Okay? So that word prosperity in the Hebrew means to push forward. It means to break out. It means to prosper or to be profitable. It means to make progress and succeed. Isn't that interesting? To make progress and succeed. So the psalmist is praying for success, for increase, for strength. Okay? Let's look at another scripture that talks about this. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. One of the definitions, while you're going to 2 Chronicles 26, one of the definitions of that word is, it means generally expresses the idea of a successful venture as contrasted with failure. The source of such success is God. 2 Chronicles 26:5 says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah. This is talking about one of the kings. Who had understanding in the visions of God. Look at this. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to what? Prosper. Okay? First things first. If you are going to experience the fullness of God, you have to seek him first. You know, I'm going to quote a scripture to you, and I want you to listen to me, because this happens a lot. For those that would teach against this type of teaching or subject, they'll make a statement, money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all. Did you know that money doesn't have a morality? It finds an expression and a morality when it gets in your hand. Does that make sense? It finds an expression. It finds a purpose, a destination. It finds an increase of one of two kingdoms once it gets into your hands. That's what money does. Money just, all it does is reveal your heart. Jesus said what? Where your treasure is, there your... People go, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love him so much. I know I'm going to heaven when I die, but they do nothing for the Lord. And all their stuff is in other things. You ever notice this? Humanity is this way. We tend to lie to ourselves. We tend to think, oh, you know, and we like to build it up in our mind, you know. I'm this way, and I'm this way. And that's why it's so important that you get in front of this mirror every day. You'll see how messed up your hair is. You know how we're going to go in the morning and go, oh my goodness, look at that. Got a bat in the cave. You gonna... You got to look in the mirror before you go, amen? And the mirror always reveals to you the difference between the expression of who God desires to be in you as a born-again believer versus what the world is showing you and how you're living according to what their way is. Amen? So as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And if you want to read on in those chapters in Chronicles, look what happened to the guys that didn't seek the Lord. I'll just put it to you like this. You can get robbed blind if God is not first. And people say, well, God did it. No. If you run off where the thieves are and leave God, the thieves are going to whoop you. Yeah. 3 John 2 says this. 3 John 2. Getting a good foundation going here. 3 John 2. Only one chapter in 3 John. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Isn't that good? Let me read it to you in Weymouth. My dear friend, I pray that you may in all respects prosper and enjoy good health. Who's praying this? The Apostle John. By the Holy Spirit, he had given direct revelation and inspiration to write this down. God has preserved it for all these years so that you could read it. Can you imagine? Do you think John was sitting there going, I know those people in Billings in 2018 are going to enjoy this. He had no idea, but what does God do? Write it there. Sean lives here. He'll get it. That flips my head sometimes. I'm just like, don't think about it too hard, you know. I love my God. He's so good. The message says, for good fortune in everything you do and for good health, that your everyday affairs prosper as well as your soul. The Weiss says this, you will be prospering and that you will be continually having good health just as your soul is prospering. But remember what we read in 2 Chronicles. You've got to seek God first for these things to work. He's got to be number one, numero uno. Numero uno. He's got to be the man in your life, the king, the ruler. Stephen's translation says this, may God who has so richly prospered you in your spiritual life, listen to this, grant you a full measure of all temporal blessings. Boy, I like that. Come on, somebody say full measure. We'll get into some of the excesses in these areas too. But I just want to establish the fact that this is in the Bible, okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Paul said this to the Corinthians. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. Do you see that? Do you know Paul believed in like consistent giving? He did, yeah. He believed in it. The Amplified says, put aside something and save it up as he has prospered in proportion to what he is given. Who gives you your money? God does. God does. So according to you, you have prospered. Set aside a portion of that. Why? What you're doing is you're acknowledging God, you gave it. Here's what you asked for back. And when you do that, what does God do? Ooh, multiply it back. And then you get the multiplied. I mean, this deal is outrageous. Okay? It is a good deal. We give a percent to God and we get 90% to keep. And then he multiplies the 90. He keeps bringing it multiplication of what we've sown in. And then what happens? Our increase, we increase in giving. He increases back. We increase. Come on. That's how it works. Now, as we're going through this and you're thinking about the different scriptures that you know where different ones like Job, glory to God, and others, I'm going to get to them, so don't write me off yet, okay? And I'm going to show you where there are instances where things were taken all away but there are certain circumstances that surround it. Okay? Some of them are avoidable. Some of them may not be. You say, what does that mean? Well, if we lived in a communist nation and they decide to persecute the church. Come on, this happened to the early church. Now, it wasn't necessarily communist, like what we know as communist, but they ended up losing everything. And so what did another portion of the church do? They just sold their stuff and gave them. Because if the government comes to your door and says, are you a Christian? And you say, yes, I am. And you lose all your money. That's not God taking away your prosperity. That is suffering or being a martyr for the gospel's sake. And it is honorable. And God will look down at you and go, did you see that? That is faith. Go ahead, take it all. I got my God. Come on, that's true faith. That's down where the rubber meets the road. You know, people think, oh, I'm living high on the hog. I don't need a thing. My life is just grand. You ain't hit faith yet. You don't know how much faith you have till everything goes, whoa, till the storm hits. Come on, those disciples. Jesus, we're going to perish. We're going to perish. If you're doing that, you know where your faith level's at. Hello. That's a good point. Thank you, Lord. Genesis 2:8. I'll read a couple more and then we'll stop. Genesis 2:8 says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. God places his creation in a garden. God placed Adam in a place of provision. Eden means pleasure in the Hebrew. Let's look at some other translations of the verse. And the Lord God, the Dewey, says this, the Lord God had planted a paradise of pleasure from the beginning, and he placed the man whom he had formed in it. Genesis, just skip down a couple verses to verse 10. It says, now a river went out from Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first was Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where the what is? Where the what is? And there's where the devil put money in the earth. And God warned Adam about that filthy lucre. Sorry. I'm making up verses as I go. No, God put the gold in the earth for Adam and Eve. And say, why don't they have it? Because they sinned. They lost the dominion over the earth. When you lose the dominion, then everybody has access to the gold. Yeah. But what did God do first? He gave them gold, right? Now don't turn that into, I got to have as much gold as I possibly can. You know what I mean? In the sense of, I can only have gold. No, the idea here is blessing. It's prosperity. It's increase. It's having enough. Amen? Just wait till we get to the part on prosperity through a job. Oh, I'm so excited. Genesis 2:12 says, and the gold of that land is of high quality. There was also bdellium there, which is like pearl, onyx stone. Onyx is a green type stone, a gem. God put that in there. And then he told Adam, you can go everywhere, but where the precious stones are and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No. He said, it's all yours. Stay away from that tree. Hallelujah. Amen. So did you learn a little bit about prosperity? Oh, we're not done yet. All I have to give you is two or three in context. But I'll give you more. Because see, I want you to get this in you so that we have this steady development as we go. This is not going to turn into hyper offerings. Come on. Yeah, I said it. If you give now, I will send you this vial of water. It is reported that Jesus was baptized in this water. Come on. Come on, give me a break. I'm not going to promise that stuff, man. That stuff's a mess. It's just a con. You know what I mean? I lived in Tulsa for East Stand, please. As one of my fathers in the faith says, if you don't, I won't shut up. I was in Tulsa, going to Bible college. Tulsa's a hub, man. Every church, every... And we, you know, we're renting a place. And we get these things in the mail. And it was like a... It was a piece of paper, but it was like a prayer mat. And they would say, send us this, your money, and then kneel on this mat and pray. And then they would supposedly share all these testimonies of people that had done it and these, you know, wild things had happened for them. Most of God's prosperity and development is steady. It's a growth. It's not a, I won the lottery. Do you know why that is? Because in the process of patience, character is developed in the believer. That's why. Because there's a whole lot of people that if they got a bunch of money all of a sudden, they wouldn't even be in church. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Lord, your word is life and health and strength to us. Your word is light and a lamp. So Father, we thank you for it. We receive it. Lord, open our eyes to see more, and as you lead us and guide us, we will obey. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you guys. We'll see you Wednesday night.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.